Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. The title of the sermon is, He is not here, for He is risen. Here is the first half of this two-part study. From the moment that the crucifixion was done, the chief priests had it in their heads, and they remembered something in Matthew 27, verse 62. It says, the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be secure until the third day, lest the disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he is risen from the dead, and the last fraud be worse than the first. It's sad when religious people and those that are following religion, they won't even give Jesus peace at death, right? They're like, well, we can't have them putting this fraud out. And that's, their hearts have not softened at all. If anything, it's hardened even more. And you would think that Pilate probably thinks, hey, this is all taken care of, we're done. But now he has to deal with this too. And they're basically telling him, this is what you need to do. Pilate says in verse 65, and he said to them, you have a guard of soldiers, go make it secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now that's an important piece of information that's there. And the Bible doesn't leave stuff or add things, little details that are there. And so when we see that it's sealed up, so the tomb itself that you see here, this was actually supposed to be the tomb that's going. But the tomb itself would have been sealed. It would have been sealed with a Roman seal. And so if anyone would have broken that seal, they could be put to death. If the Roman guards allowed anyone, they could be put to death. So you understand the significance of what's happening here in this piece of scripture. So now as we get to Matthew 28 and we look at the resurrection, you have this magnificent stone that's going to be rolled away by the angels, and they're going to break the seal. It says in verse 1 of Matthew 28, now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Now, this is something to remember, is that they're grieving. And when you're grieving, the first thing you want to do is just be with the person, and even if that is to be at the tomb. And the men have all scattered. The men scattered, I think, John, we read about it this past week. We went through Mark chapter 15, all the way to verse 47. And we read about it. The only one that was there was John. That was it. And we read about prophecy after prophecy that was being fulfilled through those scriptures. And it was the women that were there at the crucifixion. It was Jesus's mom that was there as the garments, the bloody garments, are being divided up, as they're gambling on the garments. It was the women. It was the women that placed him and were there at the tomb. And it's the women that show up first. And you know, realistically, you know, there's a statistic that says, you know, that when fathers are the ones who lead their families and come to faith, most of the family, I think it's like 80-something percent of the family, come to walk with God. When moms do it, it's only like 23%. Because moms, they'll go to church. They'll serve. You don't have to ask them. They're used to doing that all day long with your kids. They do that all the time. It's a normal mode for them. But you see that the women here are just like, I just need to be near, even if it's to be near the tomb. I need to be near the tomb. I need to be near Jesus. They're grieving. They're hurting. Their hopes have been shattered on the cross. In verse 2 it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, from an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." So this is the second actual natural occurrence that have happened because of God. We had the earthquake. We had the sky go black as the veil was torn. We read about that during the crucifixion. And now here's an earthquake. God's in control. And you have the angel who shows up, and the angel is not your precious moments little angel, right? We talked about the hippie Jesus that probably looks more like Jesus, or he's more Middle Eastern, bro. I mean, let's be honest. And Jesus was a carpenter, man. He would have worked with wood. He would have been a man. Not like we see in those pictures. And so when the angel appears, they're fearful. They're fearful. We may have to squeeze in. Y'all squeeze in. Y'all can do that. Y'all can get next to Jess there. There you go. It's okay. And these are roaming. And you have to understand, these are guards that would have been used to defending and fighting. And they're playing dead. They're playing dead. And the angels come in victory. An absolute victory. But the angel said to the woman in verse 5, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." So everything that happens here on earth is known in heaven. Just FYI. "And he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay." Come see the place where he lay. And for us, it's for us to remember that we are to come and see the place where he lay. There's a question that as I was putting this together, there are two questions that are asked by Jesus, and he asked to people that were closest to them, and one of them was, "Who do you say that I am?" You have to answer that personally. That's not something that mom and dad can answer for you. That's not something that your grandma, well, my grandma's one of faith, right? She's a very faithful person. She'll get me into heaven. No, she won't. It doesn't work that way. That question has to be answered by each of us. Who do you say that I am? The Mormons say something different in their Bible, and so does the Quran about Jesus. They're false teachings. We know that the resurrection and the cross is, as we look at this, we know that in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." As we look at the resurrection, we gain Christ and the power of the resurrection. And Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. He says, "But whatever I gain, I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that I have that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Now, we all want that resurrection power, but we don't want to share in the sufferings. But yet, we all go through trials and tribulations and sufferings. We have to understand that when Jesus was on the cross, the debt of sin was paid. And your guilt can be no more. It doesn't have to be there anymore. You just have to repent and ask Christ into your heart. Satan was defeated. Prophecy was fulfilled. The scribes and the Pharisees were only wanting, they only remembered because they're like, hey, we can't let this guy, let the disciples go out and drag his body out of there and make it seem like a fraud. Well, it's not a fraud. Who do you say that I am? Will you come and see the prophecies that were fulfilled? Will you come and see the scriptures that speak of this? There were two on the road of Emmaus, and he tells them Jesus has appeared to them, and after the resurrection in Luke chapter 24 and verses 25 to 27, he says, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And at the beginning, at Moses's, all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning him. Jesus has these two that have just been in Passover, that they were expecting a king. They were expecting somebody who was going to come in like a political leader that was going to fix Jerusalem and take over Rome. And he was crucified. And they were heartbroken. And Jesus walked with them. And then Jesus has a Bible study with them. And he shows them throughout the scriptures these things were supposed to happen. And he tells them, and finally, as the two men are speaking in Luke 24, verse 32, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Does your heart burn when you open God's word? Do you even open it? How do you know who he is if you don't know his word? It's in the scriptures. It was always there. They missed it. In John 20, verse 9, it says, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They missed it. But Peter shares about it in Pentecost when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attest to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan. It was always the plan. There was no other plan. This was it. And the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, and God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. It's not possible for it to be held by it. He tells them to come and see. See, many of us are seeking some kind of political leader to solve your problems today. They don't. Okay? They don't. You think, regardless of his position or money or status or whatever it is, that it's going to solve it. It won't. So you have the angel that's sitting there in victory, and he says he's not here for what? He has risen. They're there in victory. All of eternity is celebrating this one moment. That's why we have Easter. It's not about Easter bunnies. The devil's done an amazing job to confuse and blind many. He's taken over Christmas with Santa Claus, and he's taken over Easter with the Easter bunny. The birth and the death of Christ. And the Biden White House made this Transgender Day on Easter. And you tell me he's a man of God. That is false. That man is not following, that administration is not following God. There are satanic things that are happening within that administration. To do that on Easter, to declare it on Easter. The little kids who decorated, I'm not trying to get political here, but little kids decorated eggs that had religious symbols on it. They weren't allowed to bring them for the Easter egg hunt. The administration wouldn't allow it. You need to wake up, okay? We need to wake up. At the end of the day, like, they're coming after Christianity. But on the other side, just FYI, that dude can't save you no more than the other dude, okay? Only Jesus can. So we put our faith in Jesus as a nation, We turn back to Christ. And God will put in place somebody that will do and make sure, like, those things will disappear that we're seeing now. It's sad, but that's where we're at as a country. And we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for our leaders. You need to be praying that Biden would come and see that the tomb's been rolled away, and that even in a vision, if Jesus had to show up to him, that he would change directions of this nation. It can be done. We need to not stop praying. We don't stop complaining. How about start praying? Use that time to pray. We see victory here. But we also see that there's nothing in the tomb. There's nothing in the tomb. I can take you to Buddha's tomb, and I can take you to Muhammad's tomb, and I can take you to Joseph Smith's tomb. They're all in the tomb, every one of them, but not Jesus. He tells them to come and see, because we have to go inside to go see. That's why the stone was rolled away, for us to come and see, for them to go in. Jesus could leave at any moment. You know, it's like he didn't need the stone to be rolled away. He's Jesus. He was always fully God, fully man while he was on earth. But we also have eyewitness reports of his resurrection, and this is important for us to get in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. So if you're filing a police report, you need what? Eyewitnesses. You need it, right? So we have scripture. For I deliver to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in according with the scriptures. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas, the chief priest. Oh, I would have loved to see that. Can you, man, Caiaphas was so evil during this process, but he appeared to him. Then to the 12, minus Judas, because Judas went and hung himself and they appointed somebody else. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as to untimely born, he appeared also to me, the apostle Paul, right? For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And Paul would write about this in 1 Corinthians, verse 15, verses 12 through 19. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead did not rise. For if the dead did not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful, or pitiable. And what he's talking about is, like, look, if we believe in this and Christ has never risen, you should feel sorry for us. You should feel sorry for us because we believe in this. We believe that the stone had been rolled away. And I love what the angel tells him next. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and you will see him. See, I have told you, they have departed from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came, and they took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. So he tells them very quickly to go and tell. Go and tell, and that's our responsibility. And what I love is the obedience of Mary. She goes and tells them. In Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11, she goes and she tells them. Unfortunately, they don't believe her. She's seen, like, hey, Jesus is alive. They don't believe her. And there are going to be people that you will go and tell. We just read about all those eyewitnesses who saw Jesus. And there'll be people that you will go and tell, and they don't want to hear it. It's okay. If you don't want to hear the gospel, it's fine. Don't beat them over the head with the Bible. How many of y'all have had, show of hands, have had somebody just relentlessly beat you over the head with the Bible? If it's your wife, don't raise your hand. If the husband, right? I've had that happen. I've had that happen during the Gulf War. I had some guy, man, we were about ready to hang that guy. I was like, from the time we woke up to the time we went to bed, we were all going to hell. And we needed Jesus. But it wasn't done in love. Now, I know he cared about my eternity, but we need to be very careful. You go and tell, and guess what? If they say, man, I don't want to hear nothing about it, God bless you, bro. And you move on. It's not time. The soil still needs to be softened. Some of you have family members that you're praying for, that you're hoping that God will show up. You know what you pray? God, show up in a way that's so real that they cannot deny you. You pray that. And guess what? He's going to show up and say, hey, you need to choose, because they're going to come and talk to you. You need to choose and follow Jesus. Stop running from him. But he says to go and tell. And what is the message that we are supposed to say? That he is risen, right? He is risen. And they had great joy, but they had what? Fear. They had a reverence of God. And they ran to go tell the disciples. Can you imagine how happy she was to go, and then they don't believe her? That's how we are when we first come to faith. We're so on fire for God. And we tell everybody. And sometimes people don't want to listen. But are you still on fire for God in that capacity where you still want to tell people about Jesus? Or have you surrounded yourself by a bunch of Christians and you don't ever have to talk about Jesus in that way? See, this is the problem with the American church today. We want to stay within the walls of the church and not go outside the church and share the gospel. So what is the result of the resurrection? A couple things. There are two questions that are asked and that I really were looking at is, who do you say that I am? You need to be able to define who Christ is in your life. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that he was resurrected, that he has risen? That's the other question that is posed to Martha. In John 11, verses 23 through 27, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again, talking about Lazarus. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he live. Yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, one of the biggest results that we have of the resurrection is we have access to God. Our sins are forgiven. You're no longer separated from a holy God. Your debt of sin cannot be paid. It can only be paid by what the work that was done on the cross by Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the blood that was spilled for you and for me. That's when that veil was torn. We read about that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. It says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. It's torn from top to bottom because religion is from bottom to top, man to God. God tears it from top to bottom. He's like, you have access to me. You can't pay your debt of sin in your works. You can't come and serve at church and, oh, I'm doing all this stuff and I've never chosen to follow Jesus Christ and give my heart over to him and repent. It's just, you're just here then. Many people will show up on Easter, and what they'll do is they'll just show up on Easter. Got to make mom happy. Grandma told me she wanted me to come to church. I come to church. And then we don't see you again until Christmas maybe. I get it. I was the same way. Guilty as charged. I even complained about going on Easter. How many of y'all had those arguments just getting in the car here this morning? I did. I did all of that before Christ. Okay, so I'm not going to sit up here and act as a pastor that God has that all together. I didn't. I didn't come to faith till I was 39 years old. And the Lord smacked me in the head, brought me to my knees. And the only thing I could do is look up and look to him. Because Michael, who solved the problems of Michael, could no longer solve the problems of his marriage. And I had five kids, and I did not want them to go through the same thing that I went through at 5 years old in a divorce. Divorce rips apart a family in a way that's, and it doesn't matter. You go, well, we're just gonna stay together till we're 18. The kids are all grown up. It still affects the kids.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.